Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear. Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. As you know, on Mondays, I have somewhat adopted the whole St. Louis issue of we have a nuclear catastrophe going on in St. Louis that nobody really wants to talk about. In fact, they're doing everything they can to suppress the information and divert attention from it. This morning, I had scheduled Dawn Chapman, who is one of the St. Louis moms, who's basically spent the last 3 to 5 years of her life making this an issue, naively attempting to get our government to pay attention to this issue. And Dawn called me about, 15, 20 minutes ago and said her child was sick. She had to go run and pick him up at school. So that was just not enough time for me to call anybody last minute. So let me just give out the phone number. If anybody from St. Louis wants to call in and chat with me, I would love to hear from you. The number is 718-717-8296. I am going to talk to you about what Dawn and I were going to talk about. We had pretty much decided that we were not going to talk about all the nuclear waste and all the stuff that's gone on and how contaminated it was, but rather this issue of why people in St. Louis are not speaking up and the political challenges that she's had, the political challenges she's had and the decisions they made. One of the things when I was talking to her last week, I said to her was that, I actually, when I learned about this story in St. Louis, I began to realize that there were some parallels and events that happened in our government. Like the whole Michael Brown thing, a few people have said to me, the whole city is more focused on what's going on with Michael Brown than what's going, the whole police violence, social injustice towards the black community. And she said, actually, because around that time when the Michael Brown event happened, the St. Louis moms were really gaining speed. They were getting public notice. There had been, Claire McCaskill had written a letter. The EPA had come out with a lot of findings. The cat was coming out of the bag, so to speak. And so my mind, I don't see any of this stuff as disconnected. I think they use police violence against us to keep us from looking at the big picture. I don't believe it's an accident. And we kind of had that conversation, and she said, we actually made a decision as a group to back off from our issue so that this issue of social injustice could actually get the coverage it needs, that they realized that either the media was going to cover the St. Louis story or the racism story. And I think that's kind of a quite naive stance, because in my opinion, this is environmental racism. If you look at where the biggest contaminants are and the downwinders. There is complete disregard for the people of St. Louis and for the black communities completely. And I think, you know, the idea that they would, the idea that the media would even cover anything that starts with radiation or nuclear landfill or World War II Manhattan Project waste poisoning the people, I think we have seen quite easily. Look at Patty Amino's case, who took her 26 years to get justice for a town of 1,800. So I never heard of her name, and I doubt if many people did before, you know, Libby Halevi did her interview last week. There was a few people, you know, you hear these names, they come and go, but she was a one-woman act trying to save her town. And while she's been in touch with many, quote, anti-nuclear groups, we don't have, like we did, there's a picture on the Westlake landfill fight. A million people marched in Central Park on June 12, 1982 to stop nuclear, an anti-nuclear protest, 1982. Well, part of the reason why I'm on this radio show three times a week is because I believe it's possible. It's possible. I am not one of those doomsayers that says there's nothing we can do, throw my arms up. The reason we don't have answers as to the nuclear pollution on this planet has to do with the social engineering. We have this last week. We have the Zika virus telling people, oh, you're going to, all pregnant women need to get a vaccine. This is about selling a vaccine that will not work. They're going to inject women with this vaccine that's going to maybe harm their baby. And these babies will come out with encephaly, microencephaly, because, not because of the Zika virus, folks. It's because of uranium and nuclear pollution. These small heads, these babies born without half brains, that is a signature of nuclear pollution, period. And this is exactly how the World Health Organization works. They fund these studies, they hire these scientists to find a reason why we don't have to talk about nuclear. And we will pump up these women with these viruses for the next 20 years. We will see the rates of this disease not shrink one iota because it's not caused by the virus. And then they'll scratch their heads and say, huh, I wonder why it's not working. Maybe this vaccine isn't just is not good enough. You know, I am so personally sick. Anybody who's really followed the workings of the nuclear industry and how devious and deviant they are and their complete disregard for human life easily sees through this story. It's very easy to say it's spread by a mosquito when we have nuclear pollution. We still have a nuclear volcano going off in Fukushima, folks. It is not an accident. This is an intentional. They have decided that they're just not going to put their heads to it. And what I believe is possible is the power of us. We can force them to, you know, we don't need to have mad science gone mad anymore. Completely unnecessary. It is up to us to demand an end to this. Anybody who knows about the World Health Organization understands that their whole directive, they are subverted by the International Atomic Energy Agency. Anything that the World Health Organization comes out, any type of scientific journal or paper, has to be approved by the International Atomic Energy Agency. And every time, consistently, if there is anything that they produce that says nuclear is 100% a cause of a disease, they will suppress the information, just like they did in Chernobyl. In fact, the disease, the cancers that we're seeing now are probably directly related to Three Mile Island in Chernobyl right now. That's how long it takes. The cancer spikes, yes, they've been spiked up since Fukushima. Fukushima put a lot of people over the edge. And frankly, we're coming on to 5 years, so we're going to start seeing people dropping off like flies. So, you know, one of the things I really, this was part of what I wanted to talk to Don about, was the political stuff. What keeps people in St. Louis from wanting to pay attention? I mean, we hear in the news that the Rams left St. Louis and they're going to Los Angeles. There was a report dated 10/11/2015, and I can guarantee you they knew this when they made this decision. Rams Park possibly threatened by radioactive plumes, smoke plume. And in fact, it has been shown that the underground landfill fire in St. Louis is right next door to the Rams Park. And the EPA actually did say that there was a high level of radiation right next to Rams Park. So you notice that in these discussions that we talk about with the Rams leaving the St. Louis area, there is not one word about the radiation that was in their training facility. Can you imagine when these professionals found out that there was high levels of radiation in their training facility? I wonder how many of the people that did work out in that training facility have now had children that might have birth defects. It would be quite interesting to find out. Of course, there is no tracking of it. That's quite the consistent signature of the monsters, and I call them nuclear monsters. This is just so disturbing that nobody even pays attention and connects the dots about the cover-up and the lies of the nuclear industry. Let me read you a story dated 1990, okay? This is from the New York Times. As soon as Don Skyped me and sent me a little message and said, I've got my child sick. I'm at school picking him up. I started looking on the internet. So this was quite interesting. Mountain of nuclear waste spills St. Louis and suburbs. This was written March 24th, 1990, folks. 1990. We're in 2016. That's a long time. 26 years. Nearly half a century after a company here began processing nuclear fuel weapons, St. Louis and several western suburbs are battling over a new disposal plan for millions of cubic yards of dirt contaminated with uranium, thorium, radium, actinium, and other radioactive elements that are polluting the water, soil, and air. Not even in Denver, where plutonium particles escape from the nearby Rocky Flats, or in Salt Lake City, where a pile of uranium waste was recently moved from the city to the desert, has a major metropolitan area contended with radioactive waste on a scale facing St. Louis. This is still going on. And now we have this Zika virus telling us it's all in your head. It's the pregnant women's fault for letting a mosquito bite you and for not getting your vaccination so you don't get these babies. We have a story here that says, let me see if I can pull it up. I couldn't believe it. What did it say? As Zika virus spreads, El Salvador asked women not to get pregnant until 2018. Brazil mobilizes against outbreak of mosquito-borne virus. That is not going to work because this is about nuclear pollution. It is not about the freaking Zika virus. This is outrageous. This is so outrageous that we are willing to swallow this freaking poison pill. I can't even believe it. I am just spitting nails over this one. What is it going to take for people to wake up and to realize that these people lie to us on a regular basis? This story about what went on happened 1990, 26 years ago. It's, we have one woman who stood up relentlessly in Patty Amino, relentlessly stood up for 26 years. And the fact is, she was a trained investigator. So she knew how to walk the walk and talk the talk. She knew where to go. Here's a document dated December 29th. How many studies do we need? Final comments. Daniel W. McKeel, Jr., M.D., Westlake Landfill Proposed Plan, December 29th, 2006. That's 10 years ago. I offer these final comments on the Westlake Landfill proposed plan to supplement my previous oral and written remarks, having attended both public meetings. I remain convinced that the underlying scientific data is flawed and needs to be updated and reassessed. The best interests of the public, including protection of health and the environment, can only be served optimally by removing the radioactive waste to an off-site licensed hazardous waste facility. It is unwise inappropriate and dangerous to leave the Westlake landfill rad waste in place. The proposed remedy does nothing to control radioactive seepage into the underlying groundwater in the aquifer with which it is in contact. I believe that a reassessment of the scientific data and adequate off-site groundwater monitoring will show that significant groundwater contamination has already occurred. I fully support and endorse comments to be submitted by Mrs. K. Dry and the Missouri Coalition for the Environment. This was 2006, folks, 10 years ago. The remainder of my concerns will address the deliberative process by which a decision is being made about a remedy for the Westlake landfill that will affect several generations more of St. Louis metropolitan area residents and businesses. Finally, I reflect on the right course of action. Number one, involvement in St. Louis. Now, this was 2006. This is not, when he talks about recent, there was a Westlake landfill meeting September 27th, 2006, 10 years ago. Following the second public meeting, I and a group of concerned citizen stakeholders met with St. Louis County Executive Charlie Dooley to discuss the county's position on the EPA recommended remedies under the WWL proposed plan. Below are the minutes I kept of that September 27, 2006 meeting that was attended by the Honorable Wayne Good, Kay Dry, Judy O'Connor, Henry Robertson, and myself, in addition to Mr. Dooley and the directors of St. Louis County Health, Dolores Gunn, ND, and the Environmental Protection Services, Janet Williams. Now, these are all responsible parties who stood up and spoke up, but 10 years of doing nothing. This is where I get angry. These are doctors who said, oh, yeah, the kids are dying, but, you know, we need Congress to act, and they're not acting, so that's okay. I mean, honestly, people need to take a serious action to change their lives, change their behaviors. So it says, what we need, number one, a letter from Mr. Dooley to Dan Hall, EPA U.S. Region 7, asking for the following. An extension of the public comment from October 14th for another 60 days. Fat lot of good that did to anybody. Provision by EPA technical experts to assist the county with data analysis in several areas. Number one, groundwater monitoring data, 2000 to 2006, discern trends and resolve serious discrepancies between existing characterization and monitoring studies. Serious discrepancies. That means lies, folks. That means the EPA was lying. The IAEA and the NRC lie to us every single time they open their mouth. They do not tell us the truth. They lie to us. Detailed cost analysis of the EPA preferred remedy 4 versus cost of remedy 6 to remove radioactive waste completely and ship to EnviroCare in Utah. And I think this is actually, somebody told me that this 10-year plan, it took them 10 years. So they must have done this, that they removed a great portion of this waste, and it just finished last year. Although that's unconfirmed, I have not confirmed that, but that would be my guess because it says it took 10 years. They told me it took 10 years. Related to the real cost of the long-term stewardship of WWL compared to the DOE estimated cost for Weldon Springs Superfund site in St. Charles County, EPA estimate for WWL is $100,000 a year. DOE budget is $1 million a year. Oops, minor discrepancy. I mean, honestly, these people slept at night every night for the last 10 years. How can they just ignore that they have had a hand in killing people in our country? The children of St. Louis have cancer. They get brain tumors. Honest to God, I hate going to that page because I see pictures of babies sitting in a hospital bed crying and freaked out because they know it. Their brain's hurting, their heads are hurting, and they know they've got to do surgery. So let me see if I can go back and find this. This is so outrageous. Research existing technology solutions such as temporary buildings where HEPA filters at similar sites where fugitive dust can. Don't you love that they call this fugitive dust concern the public as a potential remediation problem? I mean, how do these people sleep at night? Research existing technology solutions such as temporary buildings with HEPA filters at similar sites where fugitive dust concerns the public as a potential remediation problem. You know what that says? That the radiation is escaping into the air and they want to build buildings to try to capture it. Well, you can't capture thorium, folks, and you can't really filter out a lot of it. We need the government to take action and get those two pieces of legislation out of the House and on the floor and passed and funded, and they need to stop kicking the can down the road. This report was written 10 years ago. It's enough time. And you know why I'm on the radio every single three times a week? Because I believe it's possible. It's possible for us to become a million people in the street. It's possible for us to demand solutions out of the scientific community for the nuclear pollution that's killing us all. We have a volcano of nuclear pollution spewing radiation in from Fukushima. It's not just three nuclear meltdowns, folks. It is three nuclear melt-throughs. And it is killing our Pacific. And that snow that came down in Washington, D.C., is going to bring down lots of radioactive particles because the radiation stays in the atmosphere until it rains or it snows. And so we have got to demand. This is an outrage. Reading this article is just an outrage for me. Additional time for us to research and report on key regulatory issues, including A, the import of NRC radiological survey reports from 1982 and 1988, NRC landfill guidelines, assessment by ATSDR on the health effects of one, place in place capping versus total excavation and removal to Utah. In place capping. Who the heck would want to just cap nuclear pollution while there's children and people who are living right next to a landfill? Who would even consider that? People who have no regard for human life. That's who, folks. People who look at us as assets on a balance sheet. Win-win for them. They kill us. We have to buy their health insurance. We pay for their doctors. Do you know that most hospitals in this country are owned by a network of one or two corporations? So when you go, that's why all the hospitals are beginning to look alike, because they're not privately owned anymore. They're mega corporations, and they have no regard for human health. In my view, I'll be honest, I am a very anti-AMA person. I believe it's American Murderers Association. Our doctors are minimally medically educated, minimally. They have no concept how to heal us. They're slice and dice doctors, and that's about it. Can you tell this report really annoys me? I apologize, but man, this really gets me going. Key background facts. This was written, let me just remind you again, this is outrageous. December 29, 2006. Key background facts. Number one, radiation causes cancer with no safe threshold. All international safety organizations agree. Number two, Westlake Landfill is surrounded by 17,000 workers at Earth City Businesses, Hussmann Refrigerator, sixth-generation residents of an on-site farm and proposed winery, and the residents of the Spanish Village subdivision of Bridgeton. Three, the Bridgeton City Council voted unanimously for total removal of Westlake Landfill rad waste. Four, the magnitude of the total radioactive waste removal is doable. At Westlake Landfill, 85,000 to 146,000 tons, 1,000 cubic yards, compared to 1.3 million cubic yards removed to engineered cell at Westlake Landfill, and more or less 750,000 cubic yards already removed at MCW, Slaps, North County, and vicinity properties, with underground waste still to be removed. So that's one, two, three, four, in general, vicinity properties. So they spread this pollution all over St. Louis, all over. Groundwater and soil are contaminated with highly radioactive waste that poses imminent danger to nearby residents, farmers, and businesses. While groundwater has most likely migrated through the porous shallow alluvial aquifer into the Missouri River 8 miles from where it's at. More or less 20% of St. Louis Countyans obtain their drinking water. 20%. So I wonder if we're going to see if when they get all the statistics from the people from the statistics of the people who have self-reported on their diseases, if we're going to see a 20% increase or even higher. US EPA and the Missouri DNR assertions this has not occurred are repudiated by the fact that the adequate offsite Centennial monitoring wells that could detect a migrating radioactive plume are non-existent. Wow. So the EPA is denying it, but they never even tested it. That's essentially what that says. Legal and regulatory issues. This was prepared by Henry Robertson, attorney, Great Rivers Environmental Law Center. Mr. Robertson has recently submitted comments to EPA about these issues. Number one, classification of the Westlake landfill as solid waste, mixed waste, or hazardous waste. Number two, NRC guidelines regarding replacement of radioactive waste in landfills and proximity to water. Number three, legal remediation, if any, of the PRP's default and withdraw from a remediation agreement. Number four, does St. Louis County have any legal liabilities? Wow, this is so outrageous. We have children dying and they're worrying about legal facts. The President of the United States declared Flint, Michigan, a national emergency because their governor, Rick Scott, who actually caused this problem by installing a city manager who overrided all of the objections of the city council, changed their city's drinking water from being trucked in from Detroit to Flint, Michigan, where they knew that it was poisonous. And they knew it for over a year. And now he's backstepping and doing all he can. And the President of the United States actually declared an emergency in Flint, Michigan. The reason we're not getting that, folks, is because the governor of Missouri is refusing to call this an emergency. Every time I call his office, they give me the same answer. The governor disagrees and does not see this as an emergency. And because there is no direct correlation to the children dying or getting cancer or having tumors or the nosebleeds or any of that, they actually, it's the 90% rule, deny radiation causes harm and underreport the negative effects of radiation by 90%. Background facts and site chronology. This is so outrageous. Listen to this. Potentially responsible parties, which are called PRPs, are Cotter Corporation, Laidlaw Waste Systems in Bridgeton, Rock Road Industries, and the United States Department of Energy. Ironically, the states was misspelled in this report. That's ironic. They wrote S-A-T-E-S. Huh. Number two, I wonder if that's a legal thing. But they did put in their Department of Energy, DOE. Wow. Uranium waste derived from very rich 60 to 70% Belgian pitch blend ore originated at Mallinckrodt Chemical Works, Destrehan Street, 1942 to 1955. Hot radioactive waste trucked to airport site and Laddie Avenue. Some shipped to Niagara Falls storage site, Lewiston, New York, and to Fernald in Ohio and returned to St. Louis. Shipped to Niagara Falls storage site, Niagara Falls. So they've shipped the waste to Niagara Falls. Wow. Cotter Corporation of Colorado reclaimed, this is number D, Cotter Corporation of Colorado reclaimed radium and illegally dumped 47,000 cubic yards of very hot barium sulfate and K65 uranium and thorium residues at Westlake Landfill in 1973. Got that? 1973. Westlake Landfill, 47,000 cubic yards of very hot barium sulfate and K65 uranium and thorium resides at Westlake Landfill in 1973. Now, 1982 and 1988, NRC radioactive waste characterization study. F, US EPA declared Westlake Landfill a National Priority List, NPL, site eligible for Superfund site remediation on 8/30/1990. So it's now a Superfund site. 1996, McLaren Hart Engineering Characterization Studies. 1996, St. Louis Site Remediation Task Force Report asked DOE to secure adequate funding for complete remediation of these sites. Funding still not in place in 2006. Wow. Remedial investigation in 2000 by EMSI. Many findings conflicted with McLaren and Hart reports. Many findings, which means somebody is lying. Hey, we have someone calling in from St. Louis. Hold on. Let me see if I can add them in. Good morning. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission radio show. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, Lonnie. This is Robin Daly.
Hi, Robin. Are you from St. Louis?
Yes, I am. I was just talking to Dawn. She asked if somebody could call in for her since she's got a sick child at home.
Well, that's really great. Thank you for calling in. Do you have anything? I was reading a study when Dawn said her child was sick, right? She immediately called me and said, I've got to go pick my child up from school. I started digging, and I found this report. It's an archive study from the EPA about Westlake Landfill from 2006. It's really shocking. So do you have anything that you'd like to specifically share with people about what's going on in St. Louis of late? Is there any action that has happened? Have we gotten a state of emergency declared? Do we know where the legislation is in the Senate and in the House that's going to move all this stuff?
Well, actually, there is no state of emergency declared, and there doesn't look like that is going to happen at all. So we have moved on to other things, and we're working on the legislation that is kind of in a holding pattern currently, and we've planned a trip in February 8th through the 10th, to speak to these committee members of these two committees, one in the House and one in the Senate.
Who are you going to speak with, Robin?
That I do not know specifically. Dawn and Karen, as well as Ed Smith, are handling those logistics. And we'll know more as they know, because they're still in the process of setting up the appointments. And, of course, you know, it doesn't always happen that day. So it might take them some time to get everything all lined up. But I don't know exactly who we're going to be speaking to.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. When you say that for sure, you know, there's no state of emergency going to be declared, what makes you guys so firm in that? I mean, I know that I've called the governor's office. He keeps telling me, well, they don't think it's a major emergency because there's been no studies proving that the Westlake Landfill has caused these illnesses and diseases.
That is true. I hate to laugh at it, but it's just the same old dismissive attitude. You know, go on about your business. You know, we don't have time for this. There's nothing wrong. You're right. Up in arms about nothing. So I don't know how we can light a fire under their butts, except if we wind up having body parts fall off of us.
You know,
we're laying.
That's exactly right. That's what John Goffman said. He said, you know, the nuclear industry is the only industry that we have ever where we need to actually see the dead corpses before they begin to realize they're actually harming people. We have the science, but they are in complete denial about it because it's part of the war machine. That's really the issue.
It most definitely is, and it's a serious issue because nobody should have to be forced to be in a stage 4 disease when they could have been found out a lot sooner. I mean, even with the medical field in this area, there is a lot of knowledge lacking in low-level ionizing radiation exposure.
You know, this is the thing. Honestly, there was quite definitive studies done in the 60s and 70s by John Goffman, Arthur Tamplin, Linus Pauling actually won, and people have forgotten this, Linus Pauling won a Nobel Peace Prize for his work that showed how nuclear pollution and nuclear radiation actually affected children in utero. We have plenty of studies. This is my thing. Like this report that I was reading when I went really quick to the Googles and found some reports. What happens in this society, in this culture, post-World War II, is we have really seriously given up our rights to a really, frankly, a secret government. We have a secret government that really is running the show, and there is a complete tight rein on nuclear. If you say anything about nuclear pollution, I mean, we have summarily been deemed lunatics and nuts, and you're radical. I mean, they drummed John Goffman out of the industry when he told them straight up. His job when he got hired by the Manhattan Project was to show that it was going to cause no harm to human health. That was his job. They gave him a specific decision. That was what he was supposed to prove. When he couldn't do it, they wanted him to show that, well, at least a little bit of radiation might help us. When he couldn't do that and said, no, there is no safe level, they really drummed him out of the industry. He really did not work for a long time. So this is a serious thing that's been going on for 70 years, sort of the brainwashing. This is why in my show I talk about social engineering. This is why people in your city actually will not talk about the nuclear pollution, because they've been trained on an unconscious level to just, let's just don't talk about it because there's nothing we can do about it. I don't know how you...
It's quite frustrating.
Well, I think what we need to do is to push back, because you know what? We can change things, and I really believe it is possible. And what we really need to do is arm. People feel very disarmed, like they feel like they just don't know, and the government is telling them the truth. Why would anybody say anything? That's kind of their attitude. If it was that harmful, how could the government not tell us? Well, in my view, this is an example. This last two events that I just talked about at the beginning of the show are indicative of how the nuclear cartel and the deep state really brainwash people and help us not really look at the big picture. You know, we have this Zika virus that's going on. As soon as I heard about the Zika virus and the babies with encephaly down in Brazil, I did a little bit of research on my own. Those where the Zika virus, and this study was generated by the World Health Organization, which does work at the directive of the International Atomic Energy Agency. The International Atomic Energy can suppress any information from the World Health Organization. And so that Zika virus, yes, it's actually true. There's a group, a really great group of doctors called the Independent WHO, and they are doctors who work for the World Health Organization who are sick of the suppression, and they protest 7 days a week in Geneva, Switzerland. Every single day there's a silent protest of doctors. They want to be taken out. This is how severe it is. In Chernobyl, they were not allowed, the World Health Organization was not allowed to go to Chernobyl for 5 years. When they were allowed to go to Chernobyl, the IAEA allowed them to only study three types of cancer and only study children. So that now the IAEA says we don't see cancer from radiation for 5 years and we only see it in children. That's how they operate. And this thing with the Zika virus, I think it is a shiny ball. I did some research. That town where all those babies are being born in Brazil, and in fact, that woman who lives in Hawaii, who's in a direct line of attack from Fukushima, she visited that little town. There is uranium mining in that town.
Oh, great.
And we know what uranium tailings do to babies. We know it causes this exact disease. So with this whole, in my view, this whole Zika, this, now, I have no empirical knowledge because this is how the deep state works. People who put two and two together, we don't have the resources to actually really go through and look at all this stuff because those scientific journals cost several hundred dollars just to look and understand the studies. So it is up to us to acknowledge how deep this is and how serious this is. But I think it's really important for us to remember, like with Governor Jay Nixon, we cannot just give up not calling him. We have to keep calling him and say, we need a state of emergency. Seriously.
Oh, absolutely.
And
yes, yes, yes.
And we need to call the president of the United States too and tell him that this is happening. And like I actually do plan on this. I'm writing a letter to the president, and I'm going to print out those the datas. And it is an outrage, and I'm sending it to the Department of Energy. We have a whole city of St. Louis who has been exposed to high levels of radiation. And we now have too many sick families.
And besides all of that, if that was enough to keep a person down, we're dealing with Republic Services' fake coalition that they built to further their agenda and their lies that everything is safe, it's a well-managed site. So we're getting it not only internationally, but we're getting it also regionally on the state level. So, I mean, every avenue that you think that you can try to use as an attack, there's always some sort of obstacle that's placed there to slow you down or deter you in any way, shape, or form. But it's ridiculous when we've got to fight within our own state against a coalition of people who don't even live around here. They live on the other, completely on the other side of the state of Missouri, on the western part of the state, and St. Louis is on the eastern part. I mean, we're fighting with them because they don't want this stuff railed or trucked through their communities when, in fact, it's already been occurring for a decade or more without incident.
Look, I've thought about this, the fact that they don't want it trucked. It's not that they don't want it trucked. They don't want to admit that it's a problem, because once they admit that it's a problem, then they have to go to all the other sites, the slap sites. They have to go to the site that's in the Niagara Falls. They have had really basically 40, 50 years of being able to do pretty much what they wanted. So God knows where it's at. That's why they're fighting it. This is really about, I mean, one of the things that I think that's really important for us to push back on when we talk to our legislators is that nuclear pollution, nuclear is not safe. It is not a sound anything. We have no need for nuclear, and we need honest science. You know, I have a protest sign that says, when scientists lie, people die. And that's essentially what we've got going on here. We have not only mad science gone mad, but we have scientists who are scared for their jobs, who will regularly lie that if they don't give their bosses what they want, they won't get the funding. It goes deep. It's a very deep issue.
Yes, it does.
You know, and it's so disrespectful to all life on our planet.
Yes, I agree. I mean, nobody wants to be threatened with their job, and that is the way that's their leverage. They'll use any leverage that they can. No matter how big or how small.
This thing with the Rams leaving St. Louis is a perfect example. The Rams training center was found to be radioactive by the EPA. So the Rams miraculously decided to leave St. Louis, and they've not talked about their facility. Could you imagine being a professional professional who's been living in St. Louis, a professional football player, and having, I wonder how many of the National Football League's children who come out of St. Louis, how many of their children have had medical conditions that are directly related to nuclear pollution?
You see, I've often wondered that myself, as well as the players themselves, because they have done their training sessions outside. I live very close to that training facility because I'm less than a half a mile from Bridgeton Landfill
in
a subdivision called Spanish Village. And so I check on that landfill on a regular basis, and I've seen the Rams play out at their practice facility in some of the most horrendous stenching events that's been occurring from that landfill, and I've wondered what are you doing to yourself?
Can you repeat that? What do you mean stenching events? What do you mean by that?
The stench, the odor, it is beyond odor. It is a stench, a stink that attaches to you. It imperviates, it impenetrates our house. I mean, you think you got the doors and the windows shut, and all of a sudden you can kind of smell it. So I mean, it's quite horrendous when it really gets at its peak.
Is that from the fire?
Yes, that is from the underground fire in the Bridgeton landfill, burning all of the unknown toxins and other and known VOCs that are in that landfill.
What does that mean, that, VOCs?
The VOCs, the volatile organic compounds, there's like 172 that they test for coming out of their gas flares that the DNR tests for. It is,
What's the DNR?
The Department of Natural Resources.
So this is the thing that I was reading this report from 2006 on the EPA Westlake landfill, 12/29/06. They have just been doing testing after testing after testing on all of this stuff. They know exactly what's in there. At what point are they going to take action? Has anybody ever told you?
Yes, we were supposed to have this isolation barrier over a year ago, this proposed isolation barrier to keep the fire in the Bridgeton landfill from reaching the radioactive material in the Westlake landfill. But at the time that EPA decided that that was going to happen, Army Corps said, I think you need some more testing. We need to find out where all of the rim is at. So where they thought they were going to have a clean line for the isolation barrier, EPA did more testing pursuant to the Army Corps request and found that there was rim, radiologically impacted material, where there should not have been, where EPA said for years it was not there. They knew where it all was at, and then lo and behold, no, they don't. So this is just typical 25 years of studies, reports, assessments, and we have really gotten nowhere. It's like a dance.
You know, honestly, I don't understand why the people of, this is me, although, you know, as you can tell, I am somewhat of an action taker. I think you guys need to do a work stoppage. Like, you need to organize it so you get like a Blue Monday going on or something like that. So people in St. Louis refuse to go to work once a week. Because nobody can quit work because we all have to pay our bills. But if everybody, like they did, this is how they ended apartheid in South Africa. You just stop the machine. You stop working once a week. Or like the black people stopped using the buses. You know what I mean? Like if people use their, what they have is their own personal capital is themselves. And stop participating. Like the machine needs to stop. These people need to take action. It has got to stop.
Yes, it does. I mean, we're running out of time.
Well, I think the time really has run out. That's the point. I mean, honestly, when I go to the website, it just breaks my heart, Westlake Landfill, and I see pictures of children crying and sitting in a hospital bed with things plugged into them. As an American, I just feel like we have seriously let the city of St. Louis down. So, look, Robin, we have about 30 seconds left. Is there anything that you'd like to say to our listeners that they could take action to do?
Well, definitely call your state representatives as well as your federal electeds and let them know how you feel about nuclear and ask them to write legislation to protect. This is what they were put into office to do, was to protect the people.
Okay, and look, so we have about 5 seconds left. I appreciate you calling in. Please, put your courage.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Oh, you know,
my pleasure.
We should be cutting off, but we're not, so we can keep talking. The producer must be doing something else. So normally we cut off just about this time, so we might get cut off. But I tell people, put your courage feet on. Look, I'm not under any illusions. I really think that we need to stop the machine because, really, our elected officials are following what the Department of Energy says. And the Department of Energy says, ignore all the nuclear pollution and blame something else. That's the
yes.
Modus operandi. Let's just don't blame nuclear because we want nuclear for nuclear weapons. And the worst part is it's the only energy industry that's 100% subsidized by the American taxpayers. It's the truth.
It's sad.
It's actually 100% the truth. It's really, you know what? I'm wrong. It's 8:49. It's not 8:59. There I go, not having my glasses on. Woohoo! Yay, we have 10 minutes to talk. This is what happens when you're older. Well, look, this is the thing. It's really, this is what I can't understand. If I was in St. Louis, I'd be organizing a work stoppage because you're not going to get people out in the streets. I just don't believe people understand how grave the situation is. Like, the people that live in your neck of the woods, all of you probably do understand how grave it is because probably all of you have health effects from it, correct?
Several do, yes. The vast majority do to one degree or another. Yeah, spontaneous nosebleeds, unexplained rashes, difficulty breathing, itchy, watery eyes. It just runs the gambit up into people being very ill. These are just acute symptoms, but nonetheless, they are acute only because there are no studies for chronic exposure. We've been exposed to this stuff coming out of these gas flares at this landfill now for 5 years since that fire has been burning, and it's projected to burn for an additional 5 years at the least. So we've been bombarded 24/7, 365 for 5 years. To me, that is not acute. That is chronic.
Look, not only it's been 5 years, 3/11/2016, we are going to pass 5 years of a nuclear volcano. I mean, I don't know if you're aware of this, but in Fukushima, there are 4 nuclear reactors that not just had a meltdown, they did a melt through. The nuclear radiation is off the charts in Fukushima. It is pouring nuclear radiation at untold amounts into the Pacific Ocean and into the air at untold amounts for 5 years. They're doing nothing to stop that, which is ironic that this landfill started about, you guys discovered it about the same time that Fukushima blew up. So,
yes.
We have the President of the United States go in front of a microphone and say, don't worry, nothing's happening wrong, and get on an airplane and take his kids down to South America and his family for 3 weeks after Fukushima blew up. And we have who I call Monsanto Clinton, Secretary Monsanto Clinton. I refuse to call her by her first name because she sold out to Monsanto. But she actually told the Prime Minister of Japan that we would not test for radiation in any food from Fukushima. And guess what? We do not. We import food into the United States that is illegal to sell in Japan. We bring in more. And right now, our Department of Energy is bringing in, I think I read, something like 120 tons or 12 tons of plutonium that from Japan to the United States. They're bringing plutonium to the United States. So we have a policy of this government to poison the American people without regard. Honestly.
True. I totally agree with you, Lonnie, 100%. 1,000%.
Well, look, I think the only way we're going to turn this around is for us to literally say we're not going to take it anymore. We demand real science. We're becoming the laughingstock of the world because of the way we I don't know about you, but the fact that we're becoming aware that the United States is the equivalent of what communist Russia used to be. We used to be, and I venture to say we're pretty much closer to the Nazi Germans. I mean, honestly, we have a complete disregard. These mad scientists gone mad. We actually did import all of the Nazi scientists into the United States. With their will and against their will. And they set up all these things to use us all like lab rats. And it's time for us to decide, you know what? We need to demand that science find an answer to the nuclear pollution. They have not even looked. If you look at the Department of Energy budget, they have not even looked at how to resolve these issues. They don't spend money on it. Every single nuclear power plant is a different nuclear power plant. There's no cookie cutter power plant because the technology is so faulty. Do you know that we store our nuclear waste in containers that are only a half an inch thick?
Yeah, I don't doubt that one bit.
Donna Gilmore, who is out of I have interviewed her on this radio show. She's just a citizen. She retired next to San Onofre, where that nuclear power plant got closed down because they were going to install a faulty part. So the citizens got together and got the government to shut it down. What she discovered is in Europe, they store our nuclear waste in containers that are, they store their nuclear waste in containers that are 18 to 25 inches thick, and then they build a big house around it to keep the radiation in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Out, the containers in the United States are half an inch, 3/8 of an inch thick. And we know for a fact that they will leak. And they start cracking in 20 years, and in 100 years, they begin to completely leak and are completely incapable of it. So we now have storage units that they're almost afraid to touch because they're starting to crack and they don't know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it took a citizen, just a regular citizen, to bring that fact up to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission and to the California Coastal Commission, because the NRC basically works for the nuclear industry. So it does take us. This is when it, when we hear that it doesn't matter what people do. It really does matter what people do, because what's missing in these government agencies is citizen oversight.
Yes, exactly.
So I, you know, one of the things we can do is demand, call your county officials, when we say really seriously, it's very important. These people get very nervous. They want to be reelected. They have a dream of being in politics. So our
yes, they do. And this,
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
The
squeaky wheel does get the oil. It might take some time, but you have to be diligent, calling them every day. So what if they get tired of hearing you? And it seems to be a burden even on individuals who say, my God, I got to call these people every day. Yes, because you cannot let up on these, on your electeds, for 1 minute. Because don't think that they're not going to backslide down the hill that you've just brought them up with awareness. Because at any time, they can just flip right back over to the way they were. So you've got to keep it in their face as a constant reminder.
Who would you like them to contact first? Who are the people that you think? Governor Jay Nixon's office?
Oh, definitely. Definitely Governor Nixon. Our county, because St. Louis County isn't going to do anything without the state of Missouri taking the lead. That is the same with our little municipalities. Our small municipalities, they are doing the same thing, as well as here in Bridgeton, where Westlake Landfill and Bridgeton Landfill are located. They are looking to the county and to the state to take the lead, and they are just sitting back, just watching it all happen, because they don't want to rock the boat. They don't want to think that they're outside of the box. They want to stay within the constraints that's been put on them. They don't want to make any waves.
Are you talking about the county commissioners or the city council?
Yes, the county, as well as even your local city councils as
okay.
well.
So let me give you the number for Governor Jay Nixon. His phone number is 573-751-3222. Now, do you think that it would be effective for people outside of the state to call?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So let me give that number again, 573-751-3222. And who else do you think that we need to be calling? Like at the county, like which county would we be contacting?
That would be St. Louis County.
County commissioners, the county commissioners, or the city council?
I would contact the county executive's office of Steve Stanger.
Okay.
And I have not called that number in a while.
Oh, there we go. We lost our time. Take care. Yeah. Please encourage me, Don, you guys.